24. Isolde walked down a row of Wookiees, all intent upon the jumble of small metal parts on the tables before them. The furred technicians hardly seemed to notice his passing. He turned to his mother. "What is this precisely that you wanted me to see?" The former queen picked up a small device and handed it to him. His eyes narrowed as he noticed a strange mark etched into the metal. "I have seen this before, on the dossier of a Yuuzhan Vong spy, a priestess Aelon. This is the symbol for Yun Harla, the Yuuzhan Vong trickster goddess, who, it would seem, has been reincarnated here on Hapes," Ta Chum said. She swept one hand wide in a gesture that encompassed the vast workroom. "This is Jaina Solo's doing." Isolde regarded the object in his hand. "What is this?" "It's a miniature repulsor, and its effect on his ship is hardly noticeable by most measures. But it alters the unique gravity patterns of a Yuuzhan Vong ship just enough to change how other ships perceive it." "I'm not sure I understand the importance of this." Ta Chung hissed out a sigh. "Your daughter and her Jedi friends stole a Yuuzhan Vong ship. The enemy is rather keen to get it back, not to mention the young Jedi, and in particular, Jaina Solo. They are no doubt looking for the ship, and in time they will come to Hapes. This will confound them, at least for a time. It's a temporary measure."
"But it has promise," Isolde mused. "In conjunction with the Hapen fleet, we might be able to set up an ambush."
The queen smiled faintly. "An excellent suggestion. That's precisely what is needed. Experience. Mature guidance. Jaina has a natural flair for leadership and strategy, but she lacks the authority to move her plans ahead. As do you," she added. "I've been doing what I can to support her efforts, but my role is also limited. The Queen Mother is the only one with full authority to authorize such an attack."
Isolde frowned. "Tenennial Joe is unlikely to do this.
Then replace her." "You wanted Leia once, or thought you did. Her daughter would make twice the queen."
"Jaina? She is of an age with my own daughter," he protested.
"A bit younger, actually. But she has a military background, combat experience, and the sense to listen to suggestions. She has been raised by a diplomat, knows how to act in public, and is highly presentable. You could do worse."
The prince started to object. He shut his mouth abruptly and glanced at the object in his hand. Not long ago, he had taken the fate of the Hapes Consortium into his hands. His error of judgment had cost hundreds of ships, thousands of lives. Ta Chum was offering him another chance to aid his homeworld, a chance to redeem his mistake. A regency of sorts, overseeing the reign of a capable but inexperienced queen. He doubted any such opportunity would come again.
"I will consider it," he said at last.
Lobaka was not in the tech hall. Jaina asked around and received only furry shrugs and cold stares from the Wookiee techs. Finally, she headed off to the trickster's docking bay. Her friend was there, but not in the ship. He was perched on the rail of the upper walkway. That provided Jaina with a clue to his state of mind. During their days at the academy, Lobaka often went off alone to meditate in the treetops of Yavin 4's jungles. Here, in Hapes's royal city, this was as close to the canopies of his homeworld as he was likely to find. Jaina quietly climbed the stairs and leaned onto the rail beside him.
"How many did you lose?"
Lobaka let out a terse yap, a number high enough to make Jaina wince. If I'd known the Wookiee ships were going to meet with that much resistance, I would have sent an escort.
Her friend looked at her for the first time, and there was no mistaking the rebuke there.
I know where Harar's priest ship is, and the little fleet connected to his Yamask, Jaina snapped. I don't know the location of every Sith-spawned hunk of rock in this galaxy. Yet.
Lobaka's dark eyes searched her face, and he conceded this with a nod. Still, he looked troubled.
What we're doing is worthwhile. Important. I'm sorry that some of your friends died, but we've got to move forward. The Yuuzhan Vong shapers are fast. They'll figure out what we know, and then they'll do something else. Our window is very small.
She leaned toward him.
Are you with me?
He climbed off the rail. Anger, like a powerful wind, swept into the docking bay. Jaina sighed.
That would be Kip.
The Jedi Master stormed into the building and up the stairs. The guards who moved to stop him flew aside, untouched by any visible hand or weapon. The Wookiee stepped forward, and Kip aimed a psychic blast that sent the 2.5-meter, ginger-furred Jedi staggering back. He seized Jaina with the same dark energy and spun her to face him. You've been holding out on me again. You've been sending up pilots, Hapen pilots, in ships that give off the trickster's signal. That's first cousin to a suicide mission.
We need more time, Jaina retorted.
We're close to finding a way to lure the Vong into a trap. In the meanwhile, this little diversion is keeping them busy. They're finding my ship all over this quadrant. Kip shoved a hand through his hair. There's a line between dedication and fanaticism. I think you passed it a few kilometers back. That's rich coming from you, she scoffed. The Vong are off chasing ghost ships, rather than focusing their energy on attacking Hapes. Fighter pilots know the risks, and they know they're saving thousands of non-combatants. Results are not enough, he countered. Not for you. She sent him a look of pure disbelief.
I heard what you didn't say, she marveled. You said, not for you.
What you thought was, not for Darth Vader's granddaughter. You're my responsibility now, Kip persisted. Jaina laughed. I wish Uncle Luke could hear this. Paralysis and inactivity, not the dark side, will overcome the Jedi. Haven't you said that 100 times? He blew out a long sigh. When is another pilot due to go out?
She's powering up now, Jaina admitted.
The older Jedi spun toward the door. Jaina pulled her lightsaber. Kip stopped dead at the click and hum unique to the traditional Jedi weapon. He slowly turned to face her, hands raised in a placating gesture. I don't want to fight you. Her violet blade rose toward his throat.
You'd change your mind if the stakes were high enough.
Don't be ridiculous. You wouldn't kill me even if you could. The idea isn't without a certain appeal, but it's not what I had in mind. If I win, you fly the rest of this battle under my command. If you win, I'm yours. No more holding out, no more games. I'll keep the channels open. Act like a real apprentice. He considered her for a long moment. Done. His lightsaber leapt from his belt, flipped in midair, and slapped down into his hand. The glowing blade hissed toward her. Jaina vaulted above the flamboyant attack and flipped over Kip's head. He rolled aside to avoid a possible slashing counter and came up in a crouch. Jaina backed down the stairs, her weapon at high guard. He advanced, then darted forward with a quick, fainting lunge. She anticipated his move and leaned away from it, then quickly changed directions and lunged for him, sweeping her arm up into a rising parry that threw his lightsaber out wide. Her wrist twisted deftly to disengage the shining blades, and then she leapt straight up. Kip somersaulted down the stairs, turned, and came up with his lightsaber held high and ready.
The younger Jedi dropped to the floor beside him and delivered two quick, testing jabs. He parried both. They drew apart and circled, taking each other's measure, exchanging blows that became less tentative with each strike. Jaina's confident smile began to falter. "I'm not going to let you stop this next flight." She whirled away from Kip's high, slashing attack, and caught his weapon in an overhead parry. A quick twist brought her around to face him. He disengaged and stepped back. "Who said I wanted to stop the mission? I want to fly it." Jaina blinked. "You do? If the mission is that important, I'll go myself. Forget it. The Jedi are too few and too valuable to risk." "I know," he agreed, "and that's precisely why I need to go." She stepped back, still in guard position, and eyed him warily. "Let's just say, I'm taking my responsibilities seriously. I don't want my apprentice to make some of the same mistakes I made." Jaina's lightsaber flashed forward, forcing him to parry. "What apprentice? You haven't beaten me yet." "I will," he said with a cocky smile, "and we both know it. We also know how difficult expectations can be. You've got to live up to your famous parents, which in some ways is even more difficult than living down a monumental failure. You can't compare our situations. We both lost brothers, and maybe hitting the Yuuzhan Vong hard will give some meaning to my brothers' deaths." "I tried to avenge my brother," Kip reminded her, "and I ended up killing him. Your mother thinks Jason's still alive. What if she's right?" Jaina lowered her lightsaber, and her face was a study of stunned fury. The older Jedi shifted his weight to the balls of his feet, gaining balance in preparation for the coming attack. But Jaina switched off her weapon. "You want the mission? Take it. But you'd better survive it. We're not finished here. Not by a long shot." She stormed out of the docking bay, leaving Kip staring thoughtfully after her. Jag Fell came into the docking bay in time to catch part of the battle and some of the conversation. He began to understand Tennel Ka's concern for Jaina, and on impulse he sprinted over, catching her by the back exit. He skidded to a stop and suddenly realized that he had no idea what to say. Jaina eyed him warily. "I came to thank you for your help," he said. "What are you talking about?" By now he'd fallen into more of a rhythm. "Word has it that you've been recruiting Haven pilots, getting them back into the skies. I don't have enough scouts to cover this area. Every set of eyes helps. And when the time comes to fight, there will be more pilots prepared and aware." Some of the ice around Jaina's heart seemed to melt just a bit. For some reason, Jag's comment took some of the sting out of her recent encounter with Kip. "We all do what we can." "You and your family have given more than most," he observed. "Forgive me, but I heard what Kip Duron said to you. I know how difficult these times can be. I, too, lost two siblings in battle." Jaina bristled. "So what are you saying? That my loss is no greater than anyone else's? Anakin and Jason no more important than any other casualty?" Too late, Jag realized that this was not the sort of truth that a grieving person could absorb. "That's not what I intended to portray." Her ire faded quickly. "Forget it." She blew her bangs away from her eyes, a small gesture that seemed incredibly weary. "So why did you come? You're not usually one for small talk." And that, Jag noted, was the dilemma. He couldn't exactly blurt out, "Don't marry Princess Solder." "You have a natural gift for leadership," he continued. "People will follow you, whether you want them to or not. Rank is not important to someone like you." Jaina's face went very still. "This is all very interesting, but where is it going?" "I just wanted to express an opinion," he said, feeling incredibly awkward. "The rank you were born with suits you very well. Anything more would be redundant." "I see," she said in a flat tone. Coming from the son of Baron Fell, a jumped-up Corellian dirt farmer, that's worth about as much as Ithorian currency.
Jag began to feel his own temper rise. Why must you take offense at every turn? Why must you answer questions that no one bothered to ask?
She returned heatedly.
To Jag's astonishment, she turned and fled. He watched her go, wondering what meaning she might have heard in his words that he had never intended to place there.
Jaina slowed to a walk as soon as she left the docking bay behind, but her heart held pace, hammering in her ears. What was Jagfell's problem? Sure, maybe she'd flirted with him a little at the diplomatic dinner, but had she ever given him reason to warn her off?
Keep to her rank.
Yeah, right. Keep out of his, most likely. For some reason, the notion of a Baroness Jaina must have crawled up his exhaust and nested, and, honorable and forthright guy that he was, he just had to let her know that this wasn't in the Sabacc cards. Well, thanks for the clarification, but who asked?
Jaina took a long, steadying breath and tried to banish Jagfell from her thoughts. He was a distraction, and that was the last thing she needed right now. She'd been surprised by Jag's visit, but she wasn't even sure if she cared enough to be angry about it. But she kicked at a parked repulsor sled, just in case she was.